You're listening to the Racing Roundup with Bobby Beavers and Jim McGrath.
Yes, a very good evening to everybody. This is the Bobby Beavers Racing Roundup with Jim McGrath. This week, it's a Royal Ascot special, looking ahead to the next 2 days racing at the Royal Meeting. Plus, we'll be hearing from James Tate about Invincible Army that will take his chance in tomorrow afternoon's Commonwealth Cup. Plus, we'll be hearing from Rupert Adams of William Hill about all the market movers ahead of the next 2 days racing. Day four and day five is almost upon us for Royal Ascot, and myself and Jim will be previewing them both. This is the Racing Roundup with me, Bobby Beavers, with Jim McGrath.
Bobby Beavers and Jim McGrath on Proper Sport.
So a very good evening to you all. As we say, this is the Bobby Beavers Racing Roundup alongside Jim McGrath. And we're delighted now to be joined by Jim himself. Jim, a very good evening to you. How are you? Keeping well? How's Ascot been?
Well, it was expensive the first 2 days, Bob, but I won a bit today. I've just come out to the car after witnessing a fantastic race for the Gold Cup, in which Frankie Dettori brought Stradivarius home narrowly ahead of that fine French stayer, the Zairabad. It was a real good race. It's been great. Crowds have been huge today. And Bobby, most importantly, every gentleman that's entered the course this week has had socks on.
Have they? Yes, we spoke about this a few weeks ago, didn't we? We said that the golden rule, if you like, or one of the main rules for Ascot this week was every gentleman, as you quite rightly said, had to wear socks this week. So you've seen no bare ankles.
There's been no bear.
Oh, dear. Right then, enough from socks and no socks. You said there Stradivarius has won this afternoon's Ascot Gold Cup. And I believe as well, Jim, it's given Frankie Dettori win number 6 in the Ascot Gold Cup.
Yeah, he's had a great race in this. You know, when you think he won it all those years. First, I think it was on drum taps for William Hastings Bats. Yeah, and he celebrated in big style. You would think it was his first. He dragged John Gosden, he kissed him, and the crowd really got in on it. There's no doubt, when they introduced the jockeys before racing, he is, of course, the best-known riding figure in the sport, in flat racing. But the cheer he got compared to everybody else was monumental. It's been a really good afternoon, Bob.
Yeah, Frankie Dettori, very popular amongst race goers. Now, Jim, if we look ahead to obviously Friday and Saturday, now the races we've picked, and this is what we just need to make clear for the listeners, is that the races we've picked over the next couple of days at the Royal Meeting are ones with the northern angle. So for regular listeners, know that we always look and try and give that northern angle to our show, and the races we have chosen have got quite some decent northern interest.
Yeah, well, there's 105 runners, Bob, tomorrow at Royal Ascot, which is not untypical. All the races are usually well contested. But the north have got some chances, and I think the 230 in the Albany, they have a reasonable chance maybe of winning it. There is one Irish horse I'm very afraid of. And then in the big race of the day, the Commonwealth Cup, one of the championship sprints of the season, there are 5 northern trained representatives in that, a couple of them with very good chances.
If we start first, Jim, with the Albany Stakes, it's the first race on the card tomorrow afternoon. 6 furlongs is the distance. It's a Group 3 for fillies. And starting with the North first, Mark Johnston here has got main addition James Doyle in the saddle. She's 2 from 2, Jim.
Yeah, she's looked pretty good so far, Bob. She won first time out at Windsor, Ryan Moore rode her, and then she went on to Goodwood, where she had a penalty. And she was running against colts, and there's no doubt she did the job pretty well. My only worry about her would be it rained heavily at Goodwood, and the ground was soft that day. She looks to me to have what I call a bit of an ungainly action, and the ground is quick here, not to mention the fact that the opposition's strong. But in terms of pure form, as we sit here now, she has got arguably the third or the second best form of the runners going into the race.
Just looking at the first 5 in the market here, Jim, as well. The first 5 in the market for the Albany are all going into the race undefeated. Now, obviously, all 5 of them cannot win, but in particularly, away from main edition, what else has caught your eye in this field?
Well, there are actually 8 unbeaten horses in the field in total, Bob. And you also have to remember, I mean, this is an international meeting, as most people know, but even more so this year. In this particular race, there are 8 challengers trained either in Germany, in Ireland, in France, or America. So there's great depth to the field. I'm pretty sure if she copes with the ground, that Main Edition will go well. But Aidan O'Brien is strong in this, I think. These two-year-olds maybe haven't been right up to the mark this year compared to other years. But in the filly Fairyland, who's ridden by Shamie Heffernan, and Ryan's Moore's Mount, just wonderful, they are two of the unbeaten horses in the race. And Fairyland has a lovely way of going about her, in my opinion. She travels easily. She wasn't hard-pressed to win last time out a group race. And if you said to me, what's your best bet on the Friday, I'd take her, Fairyland. She's second favourite at the moment, I think, isn't she?
Yes, she is, Jim. She's your 7-2 second favourite. Just wonderful, the mount of Ryan Moore heads the market here at 11-4. So as it stands at the moment, it's 11-4 for Just Wonderful. Fairyland, your second favourite at 7-2. 13-2 for Main Edition and 9-1 and bigger the remainder. But you're taking a chance on Fairyland over Just Wonderful, which we need to mention is the pick of Ryan Moore.
Yeah, well, Ryan Moore presumably has had the choice, but Shamie Heffernan has ridden Fairyland so far, so maybe there was a little bit of the Aidan O'Brien camp giving him the chance to maintain the partnership. I mean, from a Northern perspective, I hope I'm wrong, Main Edition. Mark also has Optive in the race, but she'd have to find quite a lot of improvement to make the frame. From a Northern perspective, I'd like to see Main Edition win, but in terms of what I've seen so far from these myself, I do think that Fairyland will be hard to beat.
So Fairyland then, the tip of Jim for the Albany Stakes tomorrow afternoon, as we said, the first race on the card. Now, before we speak to Jim and preview tomorrow afternoon's Commonwealth Cup, earlier on today I spoke to the trainer of Invincible Army, that's James Tate, and the first question I asked him was about his great season so far, where the horse has finished first and second. And here's what he had to say.
Yeah, no, he's been in good form. Well, he's been in good form all his life, really. He's done nothing but improve. He's always in the shake-up. He was only beaten the nose last time out off, you know, what was a little bit of a steady pace for him, probably. So we're very optimistic of a big run tomorrow.
What's he like to train?
Oh, he's a pleasure to train. He loves his work. He's enthusiastic. He's fast. He's good. You know, we wish we had more of him.
And how do you assess his rivals tomorrow, James, in the Commonwealth Cup?
Well, I suppose I'm slightly disappointed there's so many. There's 21 of them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for a Group 1, that's a very big field, obviously. But having said that, it looks like the draw's been relatively kind to him, with a lot of the fancied runners drawn near him. The favourite, when I last looked, was the Charlie Hills horse, which I think looks incredibly talented. But, you know, you could say he lacks a little bit of experience. So I think everybody will find a lot more about him tomorrow. Sioux Nation obviously have a lot of respect for him. He's a Group 1 winner last year. He's a winner at the Royal Meeting last year. He obviously hasn't shown, you know, that level of form yet in his first two starts this year. But, you know, his trainer is very able on the day, and the day is tomorrow. So, you know, that's for him. Sands of Marley, we were nearly 3 lengths behind in the Jim Crack last year, and then we were just a nose behind him the other day. Rightly or wrongly, I fancy on fast ground that we would have a chance of overturning that, so we'll see. And then there's obviously a lot of other horses which aren't as prominent in the betting, which, you know, would have chances. But, you know, he's never run a bad race, so I'd be very optimistic that, you know, he's going to be in the shake-up at the end of the race tomorrow.
And he's won on a variety of different grounds, James. In your opinion, what is his ideal ground?
I think he is just your typical good horse who goes on any ground and ideally likes good ground. He's won on good to firm, and he's won on soft. I think he probably prefers it faster rather than softer. So I would expect the ground to be not a problem at all for him. And it could be a problem to one or two of the others if they want it softer, because it's certainly not going to be that.
And just looking ahead as well, I'm looking at the entries. He has got an entry for the Darley July Cup. Is he likely to take his chance on the July course?
I think we'll get tomorrow out of the way first.
And see what happens.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, the July Cup's possible. Haydock Sprint Cup's possible. All these races are possible. But I think we'll just, one step at a time. We said last year we'd go the Pavilion, Sandy Lane, the Commonwealth Cup, and then we'd see what happened then. And it is likely that he'll then take on older sprinters, but let's see what happens tomorrow first.
And just looking at your other runners as well, I've seen that tomorrow at Redcar in the 4:05, you've got Real Estate, who ran well on his handicap debut at Yarmouth earlier on in the month.
Yeah, I mean, he's a homebred horse of Side Bananas, and the family improves with age, so it's probably no surprise to see him step up on his two-year-old form. We'd also do a little wind operation, which certainly didn't do any harm anyway. He ran a little bit keen and free early on and finished fourth. If he settles better tomorrow, I would have thought he'd have a good chance to go in a few places better.
And just a quick word as well, James, for your other runner on Saturday, Tribal Warrior at Newmarket in the 5:55. He's going for a hat-trick of wins, in great form at the moment.
He is in great form. I mean, this is his stiffest task to date, because he's taking on, I think there's something like four or five last time out winners in the race. So it is his stiffest task to date. But having said that, he'd have been very unlucky not to win last time, because he came from a nearly impossible position. I would fancy his chances.
Absolutely brilliant. Well, James, thank you very much for joining us here on the show, and I wish you all the luck in the world with the Invincible RB in tomorrow afternoon's Commonwealth Cup.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to the Racing Roundup with Bobby Beavers and Jim McGrath.
So that was James Tate speaking to me earlier on today. Now, Jim, straight away, Invincible Army does line up in tomorrow's Commonwealth Cup. And out of all the runners, there's only two horses with course and distance form, and he's one of them.
Yeah, course and distance form, you're right. There are others with course form. Let's not forget the Murillo and Heartache, both won at the Royal Meeting over 5 furlongs last year. But you're right. Invincible Army has got that all-important course and distance form. He is a grand horse. He's never run a bad race in his life. He's a horse who's best suited being played late for a turn of foot. Sands and Marley just beat him at Haydock last time when we were there. They were clear. I'm sure he's going to go well here.
You mentioned the Northern horses in the field in the Commonwealth Cup a little bit earlier on, Jim. What do you make to the Northern Raiders?
Well, Sands and Marley has, in theory, a fractionally better chance than Invincible Army, in as much as he beat him in the Gimcrack last year, and he just beat him at Haydock a few days ago. I saw Richard Fahey early in the week, and he was saying his horse had to make all his own running at Haydock, and he'd love to get a lead. A lot depends in these sprints, Bobby, about the first furlong. It's key. How does the early pace play out? Where are those that want to be played late in relation to that pace? Are they tracking them, or are they off it? Have they got cover, etc., etc.? There's 5 or 6 that stand out here. I think James Tate made a pretty good point to you in that there's an unusually big field for this. I mean, last year when Caravaggio won, there were 12 runners. There's 22 runners in a Group 1 sprint, and most of them are good horses. There's not a lot of dead wood. So tactics and position will be important.
Yeah, it certainly will indeed. Equilateral heads the market as it stands at the moment at 4-1. 5-1 for So Nation, Invincible Army and Sands of Marley at 7-1. And it's 12-1 bar the 4. Equilateral then, Jim, for Charlie Hills and James McDonald. He heads the market here.
Yeah, that amazes me. Okay, he won a maiden impressively at... what we call a novice race. At Doncaster impressively last time, and he did win one race last year. But a lot's been made of the fact that he beat a filly who went on to win at Carlisle next time, of Andrew Balding's. Now, that's a fact, she was second. But the third, fourth and fifth are absolute donkeys, and I don't think it was a very strong race. And although Equilateral won well, and he might be a good horse in the making, I think, as James also implied, we'll know a lot more about him after that race tomorrow. I mean, there's hardened Royal Ascot winners in here, horses that represent the best of last season's form, And I think two or three of them will pick him off in the closing stages. I wouldn't have him at all.
If I said to you, Jim, I have got £10 for you, which I will give you in person. Unfortunately, though, due to the geographics of this, you're down at Ascot, I'm up here in Leeds. So unfortunately, I can't physically give you the £10. But if I could, if you were sat opposite me now, what do you think will win the Commonwealth Cup tomorrow afternoon?
Bobby, we're down at Royal Ascot. A tenner wouldn't get me in the car park. well, thank you, my friend. I'll take your tenner.
I thought you might.
I'll stick it on Sands of Marley. I think it's 7-1, win or lose, in what is, let me stress to the listeners, in what win or lose is a very hard and open race. Sands of Marley has got a good a chance as anything else.
Yeah, Richard Fahey teaming up with his stable jockey Paul Hannigan, and the North have won this in the past as well a couple of years ago with a certain Quiet Reflection for Carl Burke and Dougie Costello. Right then, as we move on now to Saturday's action, of course it's the fifth and final day of Royal Ascot. Of course, all eyes will be on the 420, the Diamond Jubilee Stakes. But again, sticking with the Northern Angle, we're going to stick first with the Chesham Stakes. It's a listed race on the card. 7 furlongs is the distance, and it's the first race on the card as well. You can see there are Northern runners in the field. So, Jim, I suppose the best thing to do is throw it over to your good self. And what do you think to this year's renewal of the Chesham?
Well, this is a race Aidan O'Brien's done very well in, but I'm not sure that he'll hold off Mark Johnson this time, Bobby. Mark has got three in this, including Natalie's Joy, a filly who made a really, really deep impression when winning in great style on her debut at Goodwood, and that performance was backed up by a very strong time. The only difference, apart from the fact that there's probably more depth in this particular race, is that the ground is slightly different compared to when she made her debut. But she's top on time form, she's top on rating post ratings, and that's after just one race. And if Mark's going to have a winner this week and give the North something else to shout about, I think it's going to be in this one, the Chesham Stakes.
So you're not looking any further apart from Natalie's Joy, and you're not looking past Natalie's Joy, should I say?
No, honestly, Bob, you know, I've done my work. Obviously, there are lightly raced horses in this, and you can't rule out the fact that one or two of them won't improve significantly. But you can't turn around and say also that after winning in such good style after just one race, that Natalie's Joy won't improve significantly as well. We don't know about the ground winner. That is the unknown. But the fact is she'll be a reasonable price, and I think she's got a strong chance if she copes with conditions.
So, Natalie's Joy for Jim then to win the Chesham on Saturday. Now, also, we do have the Wokingham to enjoy. I know for a fact Northern trained horses have done well in this in previous years. Am I right in saying that the Wokingham was won by Baccarat when trained by Richard Fahey, Jim? Have I got that right?
Oh, Bobby, you've been overdosing on homework. You weren't looking after Rochelle. You were busy looking at your form book.
That's it, you see, Jim. I was looking at the form book. And I tell you what, just to back up some more homework as well, was it Outdo for David O'Mara won this 12 months ago?
Oh, I'm bowled over. No, you're right, Bob, seriously. Yeah, the North have a good record in this. Tim Easterby's won it in the past. They've got Richard Fahey, for example, saddled 4 on Saturday. I mean, I saw him briefly today. He was chumping about the draw. I haven't done enough work to go through this to say that there's a definite advantage one side or the other. Mm-hmm. The fight in the ointment, though, Bob, could be a horse called Dreamfield. Now, I'm not telling the listeners anything that people who follow racing don't know. Dreamfield could be a blot on the handicap. He was actually in the Group 1 race earlier, the Diamond Jubilee Stakes. He's unbeaten in 3 races for John Gosden, and he beat a horse who's come out and won twice since, a horse called Silent Echo, here at Ascot, over the course and distance about 6 weeks ago. And he did so on the unfavoured stand side. He made all the running there. I think we're still to see the best of him. He had to win to get in the handicap proper. James Doyle rides him. I mean, Richard Fahey saddles 4, and you make good cases for all 4 of them if you want to. but Dreamfield might be a blot on the handicap.
Yeah, it's a very competitive renewal. Just the 28 horses going to post as it stands at the moment, and that's not including the reserves either, should any of those horses come out. But literally though, Jim, just looking at this sort of field and with what's going to post as well, especially with sprinters, I think it's just a case of, you know, just watch it from afar and just enjoy the race.
Not if you really fancy one, Bob. Obviously, it's competitive, and when you're betting a 28-runner handicap, in theory, before it starts, it's 27-1 each of 28 runners. But I think you can usually narrow it down a little bit better than that, and Dreamfield is a horse that's unexposed and has already got very good form. I'm not telling anyone to back him at 4-1, but I think he'd go very close.
Yeah, Dreamfield there for John Gosden and James Doyle for Godolphin as well. Right then, just before I get the tips from Jim, earlier on today I spoke to Rupert Adams earlier on, and Rupert was telling me all about the market movers for the next 2 days at Ascot. So this is the Bobby Beavers Racing Roundup with Jim McGrath. Delighted now to be joined on the phone by Rupert Adams from William Hill. Rupert, thank you very much for your time. How's it been down at Ascot this week?
It's been wonderful. It's absolutely gorgeous weather. Everyone's looked fantastic. The only bad thing is we got coloured by the colour of the Queen's hat. 3 days in a row we've lost some money. But actually on the track itself, we've had a corker there. Actually, I'm sure you're aware, Cracksman yesterday was a breaker banker, and there's been quite a few others that were strongly fancied that have been very disappointing. So, from a bookie point of view, pretty good.
And looking ahead, obviously, to Saturday in particular, the big race of the day is the Diamond Jubilee Stakes. How's the markets looking for Saturday's racing?
It's an absolute corker, this one. I'm very boringly, personally, going to go with the favourite. I think Harry Angel is, personally, as I say, I think it's too good to get beat. But having said that, if you look at the Antipost book, the two horses that we have, basically two of the four worst results on the day, are in this race. That's Red Kirk Warrior, which is 4-1 from 6-1. Very well-travelled horse, spent most of his time in Oz. We don't really know how good it is on our side of the pond, but it's obviously a very fine horse. And Merchant Navy, who is 7-2 from 10-1. Now, you know, it was very impressive in the Curragh in May. Again, it's sort of lightly raced, we don't know that much, but talking around the press room, there's a lot of chat about this horse, so you might be tempted. If you don't like the look of Harry Angel or Red Kick Warrior, then dig into Merchant Navy.
Absolutely brilliant. Well, Rupert, thank you very much for your time here today on the show. Very much look forward to the racing over the next couple of days, and of course as well, William Hill have got loads of great offers on too.
Yeah, there's so many offers. What I would say to all punters, most people will know this, but for the casual punter, nowadays there's so much competition out there for your pound that you've got to bet on the day. Don't bother the Antipost betting when we're just 2 days away now. There will be some really good offers on the day. I know ours is particularly good. They haven't particularly announced the main ones yet, but the simple reality is you'll get a great price and great offers on the day. So keep your pound in your pocket until Saturday morning.
Yeah, very much agree. Then make your way up to your local William Hill shop on the High Street. And if you can't get up to the High Street, then go onto your account on the William Hill website, allthews.williamhill.com. Thank you very much for your time, Rupert. Enjoy the rest of the racing.
Yeah, I will. I love it. Cheers, mate. Bye.
Bobby Beaver's Racing Roundup with Jim McGrath.
So that was Rupert Adams from William Hill giving us the market movers ahead of the next couple of days at Royal Ascot. Now, it's almost the end of the show here this evening. Of course, always a pleasure for you to tune in to myself and Jim, but we cannot finish the show without some tips from my co-presenter all the way down at Ascot. So, Jim, what are your tips for this weekend's action?
Well, if you're coming to Royal Ascot on Friday and Saturday, you must wear socks. That's
yeah.
And the other tips, the four-legged tips, are Fairyland in the Albany Stakes tomorrow. That's the first race. And then on Saturday, in the 4:20, the Diamond Jubilee Stakes, the feature race on the Saturday card, I'm going for Red Kirk Warrior, the mount of Frankie Dettori, now trained in Australia by David Hayes, who's got very good form since he was tried sprinting over there.
Thank you very much there. Jim's tips for the next couple of days at Royal Ascot. Now, Jim, just before we go, you know, I know I deserted you for the past couple of weeks, you know, because I went abroad to get married and everything, but it looks like you're getting me back here because you're deserting me next week.
Yeah, but I'm deserting you, but I'm not getting married, Bob. I've just got a few days off, and I'm going down south to see a couple of friends into the West Country. So I'll be back the week after. But Luke will keep you up to the mark. And Luke's a very smart young man. He came properly dressed last week to the studio and did a very good job while you were away.
Oh, bro, well, just to confirm, I'm in my T-shirt, my shorts and my Toms this week. You know what I mean? Showing off my tan. That's what I'm doing. I'm showing off my tan.
Yes, I can imagine.
So just to confirm there, next week, Jim is away, but Luke Elder, who's been hosting the show in my absence, he will be my co-presenter next week. Looking forward to getting Luke back here in the studios. Of course, as always, we do say thank you very much for tuning in, and definitely tune in next week and enjoy the next couple of days of Royal Ascot. But for myself here in Leeds and Jim down at Ascot itself, wish you all a very good evening.
This is Bobby Beaver's Racing Roundup on Proper Sport.